But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
We welcome you today to the Living Waters Broadcast. We thank you for having tuned in. Yesterday, I talked with a man about his eternal destiny. He didn't know where he would go if he died today. He said that he had done some bad things, that he had children by two different women, and that he had done other bad things. He told me that he was now trying to do good things and not bad things, and he thinks that will help get him into heaven. Will it help him get into heaven? Let's give another example. A number of years back, I talked with another man about his eternal destiny. When I asked him about this, he told me that he was tied with God. I asked him what he meant by that. He told me that yesterday he had done something bad, that today he had done something good, and that he was in that way tied with God. He said that he was waiting for tomorrow to do something good so that he would not be tied with God, but in favor with God. Does God work the way the two men told me? They are both telling me the same thing, that if you do more good things than bad things, that you will go to heaven. Do judges work this way on the earth? If I run a red light and the police stops me, and if I tell him that I will stop at the next five red lights, and in doing that, it will make up for the red light I did not stop at? We know the answer. It will not. If the police is just, he will give me my fine. God is clear on this point. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast." Let's underline this point where he says, not by works. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is not earned or merited in any way. It is unmerited. How many sins did Adam and Eve have? They had just one, and in Romans 5:16 we read, "After Adam sinned once, he was judged guilty." He sinned one time, and he was judged guilty. He was condemned. How many times have we sinned? If someone robbed a bank and went before the judge, and he said to the judge, "I have only robbed one bank, and now I promise you I won't rob any more banks. I will be good." What would an honest and fair judge say? We know what he would say. The robber would be condemned. David says in the Psalms that his sins are more than the hairs of his head. Psalm 40, verse 12. "My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me." They say that the average person has 140,000 hairs on his head. And David is saying that his sins are more than that. My friend, are you and I honest enough to say the same thing? I know that my sins are more than the hairs of my head. Let's just think about the sin of omission. The sin of omission is the failure to do the good I know I should do. Not to do what I know I should do. One day a lady told her 5-year-old boy that she was going to visit a neighbor. She told him to stay with his sister, who was 15, and to not kick the ball in the house, not to aggravate his sister, not to pull the cat's tail, and so forth. She came back 2 hours later, and he told his mother that he had been a good boy, that he fell asleep on the couch, and he had been there the whole time sleeping, and he hadn't done anything. For him, being good was not doing anything. But that's not God's definition. Have you read James 4:17? "To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Another Bible puts it the following way. "It is a sin when someone knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it. He who fell asleep on the couch and didn't do anything didn't understand what God's standard really is. It is a sin when we know the right thing to do and we don't do it. We do nothing. My friend, we have to agree with King David that our sins are more than the hairs of our head. To the person who understands something of the enormity of his sin, there is a beautiful verse in Colossians 2. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. He has destroyed what was against us, a certificate of indebtedness expressed in decrees opposed to us. He has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He wiped out what the law said that we owed. The law stood against us. It judged us. But he has taken it away and nailed it to the cross. What a beautiful thing. He took the charges that were against us and took them to the cross and paid for them there. Have you read the beautiful verse we find in Isaiah 1:18? Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. What matter do we need to settle? We need to settle this matter of our guilt before God. We are condemned. We are guilty. And we need to get this settled. He says here that though our sins are dark, dark red, they can become as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they can become as white as wool. God is painting us a beautiful picture of forgiveness. For years, I worked on a farm with 150 milk cows. In the winter, it was rainy and cold, and where the cows came up to the barn to be milked, it was just pure black mud. Sometimes it was a meter deep, and it was very ugly. Sometimes it would snow, and it would be a beautiful white, and you would not see the dark, ugly mud. God is telling us that though our sins be black as mud, that he offers to make them white as snow. Through Jesus, this can be done. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Through the blood of Jesus, they can be made white as snow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. My friend, it is time for you to come to God through the Lord Jesus. It is time for you to settle this question of your guilt before God. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Come now. Now is the time to settle the matter, says the Lord. Don't wait until tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Recognize your sin before God. Tell him that you have been a rebel and turned away from him. Tell him that you are coming back to him today and surrendering your life to him. Confess your sins to him and thank him for having sent his son to the cross to die for your sins. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. My friend, turn today to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him today. Listen to this wonderful word in Colossians 2. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. My friend, are you forgiven? Is this a wonderful word to you? This word of forgiveness, this word of having my sins wiped away and made white as snow or white as wool. My friend, today is the day of salvation, and there is a wonderful salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has destroyed what was against us, a certificate of indebtedness expressed in decrees opposed to us. He has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. What a beautiful thing. He took the charges that were against us and took them to the cross and paid for them there. And the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. Let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, a deep, deep red, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. We need to settle this matter of our guilt before God. God is holy and God is just, and he must condemn sin. But God is also merciful and kind and loving, and he offers us forgiveness and salvation. To the sinner who's willing to confess his sins and renounce his rebellion and turn back to God, confessing his sins, surrendering his life and receiving Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he will be forgiven through the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. He will receive forgiveness that is unmerited because of the kindness and the love and the goodness of God shown to mankind through his work on Calvary's cross. What a wonderful thing to be forgiven. What a wonderful thing to have the assurance of knowing that whenever I die, I will be with the Lord. I will be in his presence, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but only by his mercy, his kindness, his goodness, and his love. Can we be saved and can we receive forgiveness? My friend, my time is fast leaving. Come to him today. Today is the day. Come now, says the Lord. Bow the knee before him wherever you are. Express your repentance to him, your confession to him in words, and he will hear you. Surrender your life to him, and he will receive you. My time is gone. We have an email if you'd like to get in touch with us here at Living Waters. It is SPIV6327@BELLSOUTH.NET. I will repeat it again. SPIV6327@BELLSOUTH.NET. I'm going to repeat it one last time. If you'd like to write us here at the Living Waters broadcast, our email is SPIV6327@BELLSOUTH.NET. Thank you for having tuned in. Plan to tune in next week to listen to the wonderful love and kindness of God expressed to us through Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to our lives.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at SPIV6327@bellsouth.net. That's SPIV.